Welcome to Out of the Question, a podcast that looks behind some common questions and uncovers the question behind the question while providing real solutions for biblical world and life view. Your host is Andrea Schwartz, a teacher and mentor and founder of the Chalcedon Teacher Training Institute.
It is the practice in modern obstetrics to do prenatal testing for a variety of disorders and diseases. An adverse prenatal diagnosis comes about when a medical test during the pregnancy indicates that the unborn child may have a serious health condition or abnormality. Cystic fibrosis is a genetic disorder inherited from both parents who each carry a recessive gene for it. A child has a 1 in 4 chance to inherit both recessive genes in order to have the condition. Those who inherit from one parent and not the other are labeled as carriers, and they have a 2 in 4 chance of having that occur. And there is the possibility that the child inherits neither one of the recessive genes, thus not being a carrier or have cystic fibrosis at all. Cystic fibrosis is most common among people of Northern European ancestry, for whom it affects about 1 out of 3,000 newborns. Whereas carriers are mostly healthy, those who actually inherit both non-functioning genes experience mucus buildup in the lungs and pancreas and have the characteristic salty sweat. The name cystic fibrosis refers to the characteristic fibrosis and cysts that form within the pancreas. There is no known cure for cystic fibrosis. Research indicates that nearly all unborn babies diagnosed with cystic fibrosis are aborted, with studies showing that about 95% of parents choose to terminate the pregnancy after receiving a positive diagnosis for it. Well, my guest today happens to be someone I know very well. My granddaughter, Elliot Schwartz, who's 17 years old, a senior in high school, and she has agreed to join me to discuss her life as a young woman with cystic fibrosis. She has an older brother and a younger sister, both without cystic fibrosis. A couple of weeks after her birth, it was confirmed that she had the inherited disorder. Thanks for coming on, Ellie.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to start from the beginning. Can you remember the first time you realized that you had a condition or what people call a disease that other people didn't? What was it like? When do you remember saying, oh, I have this thing called CF?
Yeah, so my old elementary school had a lot of dirt buildup on some trails. And I remember my parents must have talked to the aides outside not to let me go on those dirt trails. And my friend asked me, you know, why can't you go on these dirt trails? And that's the first time I realized that I'm different. And I had to explain what I had and how inhaling dirt and particles were dangerous for my lungs. So that's the very first time I can remember having to explain to someone that I'm a little bit different than other people.
So did you know that you had this thing called CF, or you just knew that there were certain things you couldn't do?
I knew kind of the borderline foundation of what cystic fibrosis was. But since I was so young, I was pretty uneducated. And I just thought my parents were telling me I couldn't do things for some reason. So.
Right. And one of the things a patient with cystic fibrosis can't do is do a lot of outside activities, especially in the summer, because with the excessive salty sweat, you would dehydrate very quickly.
Yes.
Okay. So I happen to know, because I remember things, I wasn't an infant when the diagnosis came in, that there was a series of things that your parents did every day. And then at some point, you became aware of there were certain protocols that you would have to do every day. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I do a vest at night with a, it's like almost, I don't know what it's called, but it basically puts fumes out. I think I inhale.
It's called a nebulizer.
Thank you. A nebulizer. And I do that. I used to do it in the mornings, but since I was put on this new medication, they actually limit it to just at night. So that's the basis protocol I do. I also need to take enzymes because cystic fibrosis also affects your digestive system as well. And if I'm off with the enzymes, I end up not feeling very well and my stomach is very upset after meals. So that's pretty much the protocols that I do in terms of treatments and everything.
So explain the vest, because I don't think a lot of people would know what that means.
Yes. So I have very thick mucus in my lungs that doesn't take care of itself naturally, and it needs to be loosened up and kind of easier to cough out. So the vest, basically what it does is I hook up, I have this buckle vest I put on, and I have these two tubes that plug into the vest that push in air, a type of like a rhythm pace. And basically that just loosens up my mucus because my lungs are being shaken. So.
Right. And then the saline solution that's in that nebulizer also helps. So after doing a nebulizing treatment in the vest, you do a lot of coughing, which is actually good, correct?
Yes, I remember there was probably a little coughing when I was younger, but now since we have cystic fibrosis pretty well managed, I actually don't cough up anything, which is kind of I'm a weird case.
Okay. So it's not uncommon for CF patients, boys or girls, to have a lot of hospital stays in their youth. How many have you had?
I've actually only had one. I was 2 weeks old and I had to be hospitalized, and I was in pretty severe condition because of some wildfires that were taking place. And but that's the only time. I'm thankful to God about that. There was one time I went in for a bronchoscopy, but that wasn't like an urgent hospital visit. So one time I was hospitalized.
So I remember asking you, I think maybe you were about 10 years old, and I said, "Do you find that people make fun of you because you have CF?" And your answer was very surprising. You said, "No, actually, on the contrary, I think people are super nice." What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so when I tell people I have cystic fibrosis, I have never been made fun of or disincluded from certain activities where if my friends wanted to play on the field or in some dirty area, they wouldn't play there. They would actually adapt it for me. So yeah, people were very, very nice to me. They didn't set me apart, they didn't disinclude me, and I actually felt like it was a conversation starter and people wanted to know more about me and how I manage my life. So actually, I think it allowed more personalization in friendships and relationships with cystic fibrosis and talking about it.
One of the things I remember now, as a grandma, of course, you're going to be among my favorite people, but you never used CF as poor me. I'm such a victim. Do I have? I mean, it's not that your parents didn't have to say, Ellie, remember to take your enzymes. They did. And there were many a time I would be there with you and we'd go out and then we'd remember you'd forgotten your enzymes and we had to go back and get them. But you never really did have, that I could see, a victim mentality. Is that because you didn't look at yourself as a victim?
No, I didn't. I looked at myself with an opportunity. And I think how well my parents managed it, and they never really made cystic fibrosis seem kind of dangerous. It's just something that we have to handle well and properly. So I think that actually goes to my parents because they set this type of mentality that that passed on to me.
So I gave the statistic earlier that about 95% of parents who receive a diagnosis like this terminate. And there are many people who would say that's actually a very kind thing to do, because why would you want your child to have a sickness or a disability or be unhappy? What do you say to that?
Hearing that statistic, I actually didn't know it was that high. It actually hurts my heart quite a bit. And it's like the person you're aborting, although everyone has their own personal like being, the person that you're aborting is me. And that really doesn't resonate well with me because it's not like my opportunities are limited. I'm a very high-performing athlete. I have phenomenal friendships, phenomenal parents, and a phenomenal life. And if you would have terminated me or someone with CF, you're eliminating all the enjoyment and joy I get out of life. So hearing that statistic is it's really super sad because in a way, like I am that statistic and it hurts.
Yeah. So from as long as I can remember, obviously you had to be walking and talking. Your dad, who's my son, who had been involved with pro-life stuff since he was probably 5 years old himself, both he and your mom never considered that abortion was going to be a possibility. I'm not even sure they had the prenatal test done. They waited for the testing afterwards.
Yeah.
But you would come every year to Real Options, which is the name of the Pregnancy Resource Center in our area, and you would come to the annual fundraiser, and you would hear statistics about babies that were aborted, and you'd also see babies that had survived and things mm-hmm. like that. Did you ever feel like, wow, I could have been one of those children who never had a chance to live?
I'd say when I was, even though going to these meetings, I actually don't think I understood what abortion was until I got older. But actually, no, I never have considered that because I never viewed cystic fibrosis as being a setback. So that wasn't even like a possibility in my mind that I could be that.
And you give credit to your parents, and I give credit to your parents also, because in the early years of your life, they were the ones, as you put it, who were managing this. You weren't managing it. You were receiving the, you were being managed, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But do you ever remember hearing anybody say, well, you know, don't be too hard on her. She has CF.
I've actually never heard that ever. I've actually never heard that.
Yeah. And I think a lot has to do with the attitude. Obviously, when I think of Psalm 139, it says that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's womb. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like there's any resentment, like, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? It didn't happen to my brother. It didn't happen to my sister. Why me? Have you ever had a why me thought?
I've never had a why me thought with cystic fibrosis because, again, I never viewed cystic fibrosis as being a burden or some negative thing in my life. It remains pretty neutral. It doesn't actually affect me that much right now because of how healthy I am. But no, so I've never had like a victim or a why me moment with cystic fibrosis in the least.
Do you know other people who have cystic fibrosis?
I know via through my mom's like Facebook friends, this one girl that has cystic fibrosis is a pretty successful volleyball player, but I don't actually personally know anybody with cystic fibrosis.
And I think that's pretty intentional because I think part of the thing that families that have it don't yes. want to cross-contaminate yes. each other and things like that.
Yes. Actually, let me go back. I do know my sister's like one girl she played in basketball, like a rival, her mom has it. And I don't know her personally, but I have talked to her in an outdoors environment with considerable space. Because still, even though you're outdoors, you don't want to risk anything. And she was a pretty successful, I'm pretty sure, volleyball athlete in college too. And she didn't even know she had cystic fibrosis until like high school. That's probably the only person I've actually talked to in person that has the same disease I have.
Right. For a long time, and I don't know if you know this history, for a long time, people looked at cystic fibrosis in two separate ways. They had said, well, this affects the lungs, and then there's another condition that affects the digestive system and the pancreas. And then somebody, I think it was in the mid-1900s, figured out it was the same thing. And I think the most famous person that people think now probably had cystic fibrosis was the composer Chopin. Mm-hmm. And that he probably suffered from that, even though they didn't call it that name.
Yeah.
So I remember it certainly wasn't a happy day when your parents discovered, yes, Elliot has cystic fibrosis. I just happened to be reading in the scriptures that day, the Gospel of John, where the disciples have this blind man in front of them, and they ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus's answer was, neither one. He was born blind so that God would be glorified. So let's talk about how Elliot Schwartz, all medical advice would say, no, 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 she'll have a terrible life. She won't be functioning. She'll be so impaired. Tell us about your life as a basketball player.
Yes. Yeah, so I started basketball at the age of 4, and at the age of 7, your son, my father, started coaching me up until right now. He'll be coaching me probably over a decade. And as far as it goes, cystic fibrosis only partially affects how I play. Sometimes I will be drastically out of breath, but that has really decreased since I've been on Trikafta. So I think my story with cystic fibrosis relating to basketball shows that having cystic fibrosis is not a setback to the physical activities that you can do. I overall am very, very healthy, and I actually don't think cystic fibrosis affects basketball. I think it's the other way. Basketball affects cystic fibrosis, being that because I'm so physically active and athletic and I do all this training, I think I've really limited the effects that the disease has on my body.
I'm glad you put it that way because it's no accident that at the age of 4 you start playing basketball because that would be a natural sport you can do. It doesn't take place outside like soccer or softball or things like that. And obviously, initially getting into a pool with chlorine and things could possibly affect you. So your dad picked a sport that sort of fit the bill indoors. Lots of activity and running around, and kind of being a proud grandma moment here. You are in your final year of high school, and you have almost, and maybe you've already surpassed it, the 2000 point mark. And that's with having had a bad ankle for part of an entire season, which maybe you felt a little sorry for yourself back then. I remember that time. But that having 2,000 points in essence in 3 years of playing is pretty amazing. So tell us about how you think having to deal with the things that you have had to do inspires you in an athletic competition to not give up and to not decide that, oh, this is too hard. Why don't we just quit?
So when I let's go back to like me breaking my ankle. When I broke it, I think you were there like a couple days after, and I was depressed. I was in my room, I couldn't move. And I think a lot of my identity was in basketball at that time. So when basketball was kind of stripped away from me, I really just watching my teammates play, I was just like, I just want to be 10 times better than I was before the ankle. So I'd say that the setbacks that I face through cystic fibrosis and injuries have only motivated me to want to work harder and want to keep my body healthier. After I broke my ankle, I was really trying to get my ligaments healthy and my bones healthy. So, setbacks, they only motivate me to be better.
Yeah. And I remember the conversation we had because I was up there for Thanksgiving. This had happened the day before Thanksgiving. And obviously, you did not know at the time, nor did anyone, was this the end of your quote unquote basketball career? And I remember sitting next to you and saying, maybe instead of asking the question, why, ask the question, what now? And I think that going back to the idea of adverse diagnoses, God doesn't make mistakes. If we're fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's wombs, that means those with Down syndrome, those with sickle cell, those with Tay-Sachs, those with spina bifida, and those with cystic fibrosis were created, and God saw fit to, as I used to tell your dad, to trust you with this. So you've been entrusted with something. And I appreciate the fact that you don't hide it, that you're willing. I mean, I've been with you in restaurants when you're downing your enzymes and everything else. You were never shy about it. So what would you say to parents who get this bad news, because it's not good news? Nobody would say, hooray, my child has, cystic fibrosis. What would you say to them?
Like in terms of
Well,
how
let's
they.
say a genetic counselor said, you should talk to this young woman, Elliot. What would you say? They just got some bad news. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I'd say absolutely go forth with the pregnancy. And I'd say without, if my mom were to have aborted me, I wouldn't be smiling right now. I wouldn't be having this blessed life I have right now. I wouldn't be having the accomplishments of my sport right now. I wouldn't have the friendships I have right now. So it's not that it's good to abort a child because they have something that is life-threatening. It's you need to have courage And I think without my mother's courage and without my parents' courage, the way they handled me, I don't think I'd be sitting here right now. And I'm so thankful that I'm sitting here right now. And I hope that any mother and father considering it, they just look at my story and realize that it's going to be okay. I'm okay right now.
And it's not like you don't have hope for the future. So this is your final year of high school.
Yes.
What's next for you?
I committed to a 4-year college for I get to play D2 basketball, and I hope to get married someday. That is probably one on my priority list, but I also hope to be running my own business. I hope to found my own basketball gym and share the love I have for basketball. And I love training kids, and I love working with children, and I really hope to become a trainer one day.
Very good. So I would be remiss if I didn't include in this conversation your relationship with Jesus Christ. Talk a little bit about when you first became aware of the fact that there was a God who created you and how you look at how you serve him today.
So I went to a Christian school for around 10 years, and all of those 10 years, I wouldn't want to say like I didn't have knowledge of Christ, but since it was just a daily routine, I was like, okay, let's go to my Christian school and talk about God. But I never really understood the personal relationship with him. And it actually wasn't till March, I think it was in March of 2024 or 2025, I can't remember, but that I actually ended up giving my life to him. And it was when I never had this humility. And I finally understood the humility that you need to have to acknowledge that there's someone so divine and someone that is so much powerful and stronger than you. And there was a lot in my life at that moment. I was relying on myself and I was having my identity in basketball. And although I broke my ankle in November and I ended up giving my life to God in March, although that's a big time gap, I think my identity began to change. I think it opened my eyes, realizing that, my life is not about basketball. Basketball can't always be there for me. I will get old and my body won't work the way it is. But what doesn't change is God's unchanging love for us. And that's when I realized that I need God because I can't rely on materialistic things or earthly things. I need something so heavenly and so unchanging.
And I hope that encourages people who are listening, regardless of what your thing is, because we all have stuff that we wish we didn't have. And it's not like you don't have to be aware of in the future things that are likely to be part of your life as you continue to grow. So talk a little bit about the transition from having your parents say, Ella, you need to do this, to you taking responsibility for that yourself.
Yes. So I hope that I can be responsible enough. There are times at night where I'll forget to take my Trikafta, which is like one of the main medicines of cystic fibrosis now. And I think I need to start working on that right now because that is probably something that, since it's my timeline, I need to make sure it gets done. At cystic fibrosis checkup appointments, I will do most of the talking now because when I was little, my mom or dad used to do most of the talking. But in terms of like medicine names, I need to identify that and what they do so I don't remain ignorant, So that's what I have to do in college is driving myself to these appointments without my parents. It's going to be so weird, but I think I'm ready for that right now. I just need to make sure that I actually remember after I eat like a hamburger to swallow this little pill, and I need to make sure I stay strapped with that. So
Right. Well, the good news or the bad news, depending on how you look at it, if you don't take that little pill, you'll feel it immediately. And
Oh,
so there'll be
absolutely.
certain things that come
Yes.
about. So what about lifestyle choices and food choices and, the amount of sleep you need? Does that factor in for a way for you to stay healthy?
I'd say in terms of food, no, I don't think my food has ever affected cystic fibrosis, but the sugar intake can. Because people that have cystic fibrosis are a little bit more susceptible to getting diabetes. So every year I have to take, typically in November or December, I need to take a glucose test. This is like the same, a similar test to when pre what pregnant women take. So I'd say the sugar intake I don't think it damages cystic fibrosis, but I think it can. I'm just more susceptible to getting diabetes, but I might be wrong.
Right. Well, pancreatic issues are what usually precipitate diabetes, that the insulin production isn't there. So I remember hearing a statement once, there's nothing like an incurable disease to have you live longer, because you pay more attention to things that people who think,
Yes, that's
everything's
a
going to
good way.
stay the same. Lastly, if you were talking to somebody, maybe not with CF, but with other situations that somebody who has gotten a young person who's gotten a cancer diagnosis, or somebody who has injured himself and not recovered like you recovered from your broken ankle, what would you say to that person? Because I'm sure that there are people who are listening who know people, young people especially.
Yeah, I'd say actually pray over yourself and have people pray for you. I think prayer is more powerful than medicine and more powerful than any injury or setback. I think the Lord doesn't give us challenges that we can't take. I think He gives us what we can handle. So that would be my advice, is just hope and trust in the Lord. I don't even have any advice on, how to recover faster or do this or that. I only have heavenly advice, and that's just pray.
And of course, we'd say, do the things you're supposed to do and don't do the things you're not supposed to do.
Absolutely. Be wise.
Right. Okay. Well, I know that your team has a really good record this season and you're headed to the playoffs. What is your prayer with regards to the remainder of your high school basketball career?
I'd say no injuries for anybody. I'd say I hope our team stays united. It's a long season ahead of us, and sometimes burnt out happens. And I hope my dad, because it's my dad's last season time coaching me. We have a few games left, so I hope every game goes well. And I hope that I'm able to show my gratitude and appreciation for him in all the right ways, because he's really done so much for me, so much time and money and a lot of arguments, but we are here. So, yes.
See, she's normal, folks. She argues with her parents too and
Yep,
stuff
I
like that.
do.
But I can say that over the years, you and I've had many good talks. And originally, my best memory of you is you telling me the way things were, and you'd put your hands on your hip and just tell me that you would, I'm going to go tell on you. And I'd say, okay, go for it, honey. You go tell on me. But watching you grow up from a little girl to really faithfully seeking the Lord in what you do has been really exciting for me. And I just didn't want to give up the opportunity for God to be glorified in your story and the story of our family.
Thank you.
Out of the question podcast at gmail.com is how you reach us. And we look forward to talking with you next time.
Thanks for listening to Out of the Question. For more information on this and other topics, please visit calcedon.edu.